Today's message is going to be, I'm going to do some teaching. In our culture today, in this society in which we live, we are taught from the time that we are a child that you need to have things to make you happy. And things cost money. And it's almost as if the God of this society of ours is money. But I'll promise you, that money that you may seek to gather will never make you happy. And one of the biggest mistakes you can make is saying, I can't afford to give to God because He's the one person that can bless you. So we're going to talk today about stewardship, and I will be up front with you. If you've been coming to the church for any length of time, you know I don't talk or preach frequently about money. And the reason I don't is I know that a lot of you are struggling. I know you are. You're trying to figure out how to make that payment, pay the rent. You got that light bill to catch up on. You need to go to the doctor. I get that. But for me not to talk to you about stewardship, it's like the overweight guy who's a couch potato going to the doctor wondering what is wrong with him and the doctor not saying a thing to him about his lifestyle, that you need to drop a few pounds and walk a little bit. So I want you healthy. I want God to bless you. I want you to abound. But I know it's only going to happen when you follow biblical principles. And as I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to you as somebody who easily lets money go. As a matter of fact, I can struggle with it. If you were around me a couple of weeks ago and spent any time, you would have picked up that something had distracted me. We were one day at our house walking in our bathroom, and if you know anything about construction, we have soft spots in our floor. Anyone know what that means? You've got a leak in your floor. So I had to crawl under the house. It's not any fun. And when I finally got to where I could crawl under a beam and over a pipe and look up at the floor, the whole bathroom floor was not only wet, it was moldy. You see, I had been advised when I built the house to spray foam insulation under the house to help insulate. But what it did in the bathroom, it formed a vapor barrier that when it started leaking, it didn't drip down on the ground. It just began to spread through the floor. If you'll drive by our house today, you'll see there's a pile of lumber and bags out front. That's my bathroom floor. I had to go back under Friday. Is that when it was, Ginger? I had to go back and check something. And I'll be honest with you. I kind of had to squeeze down between a couple of studs and over a pipe, and I was afraid I wasn't going to get out. I was afraid I was going to have to get Ginger to call somebody to come take my sawzall and cut me out. It just got concerned. But my whole time I'm thinking, man, it's going to cost me $1,500, $2,000 at least to do this, maybe more than that. I understand money problems. But I know our God is greater than any issues that we have. I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly. I want to first of all give you four quick points about stewardship, and then we'll get into the sermon. First one, God is the creator and has full rights of ownership over everything. If you remember the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, It's all His. If you have a job, somehow it goes back to His creation. God has full rights of ownership. Now, some of you have children and teenagers, and y'all live in a home together, and your child may say something like, "This is my room." Ever hear a child say that? "My room. I want to do this in my room, my door. I'll open my door and I'll close my door when I want to open my door and close my door." It's really not their room. You've let them think it's their room, but when you decide to sell that house, do they have a say-so about their room? No. Was never theirs. Because God has allowed us to use something doesn't mean it's ours. Second, God has given us the privilege and responsibility of being His steward. He told Adam and Eve in the garden, "I've given you all this, you are to manage it." When you put your money in the bank or you invest it with an investment company, what you were saying to this, "I'm giving this to you to take care of for me and I want some interest back on it." You are not saying, "I'm giving this to you to use any way you want to." At least I'm not. God gives it to us as His manager or as His steward. Number three, stewardship is not taking something from us. It is His method of bestowing His richest gifts to us. When God blesses us and we choose to use it on ourselves, I believe God ceases to bless us. When we are blessed and allow Him to give through us, I believe God will continue blessing. And number four, we choose to accept or not accept that responsibility. Now let me give you a simple caveat. The Bible is for you and I as Christians. It is not for unbelievers. They do not have to abide by the Word of God or walk in the Word of God or heed the Word of God. They don't have to. You and I, when we came to Christ, we accepted His authority in our life. This now becomes our guide. And you will have to decide if you're going to live your life the way God expects, or are you going to live your life the way society expects? And in our society, it does become increasingly obvious. Those who are trying to follow Christ and those who are living for themselves. So obvious. We're going to take the scriptures today, and we're going to be looking at a parable of Jesus, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. By the way, Jesus does more teaching about money than any other subject. Have you ever wondered why? The same reason when you go to the doctor, they check your temperature and blood pressure. Because those simple tests reveals to the doctor that there may be something going on here. Stewardship reveals a heart condition. And so Jesus is continually addressing it in our lives. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put it to work and gained another 5 bags. Also, the one who had been given 2 bags gained 2 more bags. But that one who had been given one bag went off, dug a hole, and put his money in the ground. After a long time, the master of these servants, and I'm certain you picked up the master is Jesus. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received five bags of gold brought the other five and said, Master, you entrusted me with five bags of gold, and I've gained five more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the one with two bags of gold came and said, Master, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. I've gained two more. His master says, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the one who had received one bag came and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. So here it is, it belongs to you. His master said, You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered. You should at least have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that I could have had interest when I returned. So take this bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, when they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I heard an interview a couple of weeks ago. Coach Sweeney, the coach of the world champion, Clemson Tigers, and they were asking him what was important to him. What would he want to be remembered for one day? And he paused. And he said, All I can say is one day I would hope to hear God say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In the end, friend, that's all we've got. So I want to take this and help you better understand it, because I think if you understand God's expectations, we may have a tendency to be faithful. First point is this: God has entrusted his wealth to us. He says, Again, I will liken this unto a person going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To trust means that he depends upon us to act in his interest. He entrusts to us to provide for our needs. Our problem, friend, it's not our needs. Let's be honest about it. If there's anybody here, please, if you don't have food to eat, we will gladly meet that need of yours. If you don't have a place to sleep, we'll gladly meet that. But friends, our problem isn't our needs. Our problem is our wants. And that's where we have a problem being faithful to God. He provides for our needs. He provides for the needs of others through us. And he always asks us to have an eye for the future. He told his servants, I'm going on a far journey. And when I return, we'll settle up. God entrusts his wealth to us. When our son Scott was probably 9 or 10 years old, we were visiting my father, and Scott and I wanted to go fishing. I knew down in the barn, my father had some rods and reels, and so I asked my dad if I could go down and get a couple of rods and reels. He said, sure. He said, but I just stopped by the sports store and got me a new rod and a new reel. And they were pretty nice. He said, take that and use that too. So I went down there and I got a couple of old ones. I figure I'm going to let Scott use the older ones because I'm not chancing him with Dad's new reel. Not chancing it. So we go out and we're sitting in a John boat. Anybody know what a John boat is? We're sitting in a John boat. I'm in bow and I've got a paddle paddling around trying to put Scott at a place that he can cast and get where some fish are. Well, he's casting, but he's casting about 8 or 10 feet in front of the boat. I said, son, you've got to reach that thing back and chuck it out there. Okay? I have Dad's new rod and reel sitting in the bow of the boat with me. Scott reaches back, the hook hooks Dad's new rod and reel. And the last I saw it was it sailing out of the boat into the water. Scared me to death because, like this servant said, I know my father's a hard man. And I don't think he's going to buy my story. We probably spent a half hour fishing for that thing, taking hooks and dragging. Never got it back. But my father, he thought it was funny. He laughed about it. But I had a responsibility, and I knew I had a responsibility. God entrusts his wealth to us. Number two, God gives to each one of us differently. And I want you to catch this. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag each, according to his ability. In order for this to happen, God has to know us. And God does know us. I find it amazing that God knows us by name. I think I know everybody in here by name. But sometimes we see people that we know. Do you ever draw a blank? I know them. I know them. I know them. What is their name? We draw blanks. God never draws a blank. He knows who you are. He remembered when you were born. He knows when your end will come. He knows what your life is going to be. He knows you. And the fact that it says here, according to his ability, that means he knows you pretty well. Kind of scary, isn't it? To think that God knows what you're good at, and that God knows what you're not so good at, where you're strong and where you're weak. Do you ever wonder that maybe one reason God has not blessed you with abundance is he knows you can't handle it? I don't know. But I do know this. We have a very loving God who knows us individually. We today, you and I, are fortunate to live in the most prosperous country that has ever existed. We all face a battle, all of us do. We are all tempted to buy into the culture that surrounds us that says you need more. You need bigger. You need new. You need faster. You need more comfortable. When we turn on our television, the advertisements are constantly, don't you really want this? You really need this? They keep coming out with all these new gadgets. Have you noticed that? And you've got to admit, the gadgets do look cool. I need that gadget. And all that new style, I saw them. And it's not they've got it on sale this week. You gotta have it. Our society, almost like a seductress, says, don't you want to come and taste of everything I've got? Oh, come and taste. And what they don't tell you is once you taste, you got to have more. And the whole time the Holy Spirit is saying you need to honor God with what you have. You need to be a giver. And it's almost as if we have a choice to make. And by the way, we do have a choice to make. There's an interesting portion of Scripture in one of Paul's epistles to Timothy. Paul, who has traveled planting churches, has been the most faithful to God. He's now imprisoned. He is not long before he's beheaded. But he's in prison. He has been given the privilege as a Roman citizen to write letters. He writes to Timothy. And you can almost pick up as he addresses Timothy that maybe he's down a little bit, a little discouraged. After all, he is imprisoned in Rome, and Rome was not known for comfortable cots to sleep. Basically, he was in a pit in the ground. And he said, Timothy, come to me. And when you come, bring the parchments, bring the scriptures. He said, and bring my coat. It's probably cold and musty where he is. And then he says, everyone has forsaken me. He says, even Demas, because he loved this present world. And ultimately, that's where we all are. And listen, and I'm saying this is all of our battle. You are not by yourself in this one. All of us battle against the society's call to have more and be all. And living humbly and simply. It's all of our battle. But he entrusts us. He entrusts us to be faithful. Number three, God expects his wealth to be used for him. I like this. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. If you remember, Jesus tells us, I'm going away, but I will be back. We must stay focused on the returning Christ and not be distracted by what is happening around us. I was watching football yesterday. I was watching a Notre Dame. It is not a college I usually follow most of the time. Playing Michigan. Did anybody watch any of that game? All right. Let me tell you what was happening. Notre Dame is playing Michigan. Notre Dame is ranked up high in the polls. They've got a really good team. Michigan has a good team, but nothing like Notre Dame. But it was a horrible weather day. Pouring rain. And I felt so sorry for the Notre Dame quarterback because he had two problems. The first of all is pouring rain. Have you ever picked up a football in the rain? And he's supposed to hand it and throw it and everything be accurate. And Michigan came loaded for bear. It's almost as if the speech before the game was, disrupt that quarterback, take him down and take him out. Because it's like the quarterback could not focus on his receivers going out. First of all, it's pouring down rain in his face. And when he finally got through, he looked up, and there's a defensive lineman about to take him apart. How do you focus when that's going on? Notre Dame got beat badly by Michigan. The quarterback could not focus on the simple thing of getting the ball to the receiver because of the torrential downpour and the way the defense just kept coming at him. We in this life have a simple goal. It is to honor God with our life. Why did God put you here? To please Him. We are to honor God with our life, but coming at us is a society that says, you need more stuff. Bigger stuff, newer stuff, brighter stuff, shinier stuff, more expensive stuff. And it's coming at you. And that is daunting enough. And then the bills for all this stuff. By the way, you do understand when you swap that card, as easy as it is, there's a bill coming in. So you've got all this stuff coming at you. And then you got the bills coming at you. And through all of this, we're supposed to say, God, I need to honor you with my giving. I need to. And this is not one of the points for today. It'll be coming down the line in another sermon. A giving is the only antidote for materialism. Did you hear that? Giving is the only antidote for materialism. The only one. Nothing else works. So God calls us to give. He wants us to give. He will bless us. But he wants his wealth used for him. A young couple came to me years ago. This young couple, and it's not anybody you would not know who it is if I mentioned them, I don't think. A young couple came to me years ago. They were working with our youth at the time. And like Connie, they were always having either chocolate sales or car washes, and they were doing all of these things, and there was money coming in, okay? Money coming in. And they had an envelope that the wife kept in her purse where she put all this money, okay? We sell chocolate bars. We get the money. We put it here. Well, time went by, and one day at the grocery store didn't have quite enough to pay for the groceries, so she took a little bit out of the envelope to pay for the grocery bills. And over time, the envelope that was pretty thick began to get thinner. Okay? Never an intent to steal. Just, you understand. Just before you know it, becomes a habit. And something came up in the youth where they needed to spend this money. They came to me fairly nonchalant. Pastor, we can't pay this bill because, well, we spent the money. And they were, I could say, fairly nonchalant about it. Didn't seem to bother them a lot. I said, I understand. I said, you know, there's a word for this. They said, really? I said, yeah. It's called embezzlement. It's when something is entrusted to you for one purpose and you use it for another, which is usually for yourself. And of course, I prayed with them, asked them to step down from the position because I felt like that they had failed to be faithful to God. And I gave them a time that what you need to do, you need to take and repay this back, and then we'll talk about what God has for you then. You see, I wonder sometimes if we're, and please, there's no one here that I'm preaching at when I'm not preaching to myself. I wonder if there's a time that you and I are guilty of spending God's money on our stuff. And I wonder if there's a family out there that is hurting that God wanted you to bless and you can't bless them because, well, you needed more stuff or bigger stuff or better stuff or brighter stuff or more, I don't know. You understand stuff. Number four, and I'll close this quickly, God rewards according to our faithfulness. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's what I want to hear. In the end, when we stand before the Lord, we want to hear Him say, well done. Because I think He's taken what we've sent on ahead, and I think that's what He's going to bless us with. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 30, and I'm not going to give you an interpretation of it, I'll just leave it with you. But to that servant who had taken it and hid it in the ground and just gave it back, Jesus says, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does God take how we treat His money seriously? I would say yes. Have a quote for you at the bottom of the page. In hoarding, and there's not a person here. If I said, are you a hoarder? Probably nobody would hold their hand up. How many people here have more clothes in the closet than you ever wear? How about more shoes in the shoe rack that you ever wear? How many people eat more food than you need to eat? We are hoarders. We are. We just don't do it enough that they're going to put you on television. But we're all hoarders. In hoarding, we experience worry because something may happen to our stuff. But in giving, as Ginger shared, you experience joy. Joy that always returns itself. So I'm just going to ask this of you before we pray. Would you pray with me and say, God, help me to understand what you want me to do with your money. Just help me to understand. I'm trying to do some teaching. This is the second sermon in five, so we're going to be going through this. Because you see, I want to see you blessed. I want to see you happy. I want to see with what you need to have. But I know it's not going to start until you decide that you'll be obedient to God and faithful to Him, and then He'll bless you. So would you just pray that with me? God, open my eyes that I would see how you would have me use what you blessed me with. Father God, Father God, thank you for placing us in a country where this is our battle. But Father, it is a battle. We are prone to want everything that we see and to spend what you've entrusted to us to get it. Forgive us. Father, help me to see how I can do more for you, how I can give more, how you can bless more through me. And Father, I pray for my friends here today, Lord. That you would bless them. And I pray, Father, that you would help them see that you're blessing them, not just so they can have more stuff. You're going to meet their needs, but that through them, you can meet the needs of others and bless them. We know that you are a sovereign, loving God, and that we need to be in submission to your authority in our lives. So, Father, may our hearts be submissive as we yield to your lordship. In Jesus' name we pray.